ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
Deep square leg and third of the two fielders out as McAndrew bowls to Smith. That is monumental. That's onto the roof of the Brewongal stand. Wow. That is massive from Smith.
You know the BBL is in a good place when Steve Smith is going full Steve Smith. Resplendent with batting ticks, wearing eye blacks, dismantling bowling attacks and hitting sixes onto the roof of the SCG. As the finals of the competition load, we are blessed with four teams who all have compelling story arcs. Smith, Stark and the Sixers, the perennial heavyweights. Perth Scorchers atop the seedings. The Canes, they're trying to go back to back. The chaotic and eponymous Stars of Melbourne. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Brett Sprigg has been all over the country this summer calling BBL with the ABC. We're going to talk some finals with the great man as we go through seeds 1-4. In 15 seasons, Spriggy, the Scorchers have finished first in the regular season six times. What's weird in this iteration is how spicy the deck has been in Perth and the kind of headaches that's created. Who's going to be the key for this outfit given that dynamic? Is it going to be the bowling unit or the batting unit?
I guess you look at it one of two ways, Stacky, is the improvement lies in the bowling. And the Scorchers are by no means unbeatable, despite the parochial home crowds they get, and they had a record crowd in that last home game. And they are, as you say, a proven finals team. But it's been off balance this year as far as their batting, the likes of Finn Allen, Mitch Marsh, putting up big numbers. They regularly make 200, which is well above average at most grounds across the country.
Jordan over the wicket into Mitch Marsh, who swings hard, and again, he just carves this through backward point for four more. That lunging shot that just glides away. It's extraordinary batting here at Bellarive. That brings up the team 200.
Their bowling has lacked in BBL 15. They have good bowlers, of course, make no mistake, Jai Richardson, proven guys like Ashton Agar and all of that, but they just haven't had the most complete bowling performances across BBL 15. So I guess you say, well, they can defend big scores. They make big scores, but if they can put it together with the ball, all of a sudden that element then comes in for them in the playoff time. And of course, the advantages they have is finishing top. A chance, along with the Sixers, to win hosting rights for the final on Sunday is huge. But the Scorchers are by no means unbeatable.
How central do you see Finn Allen to their prospects, given what he's been able to do this season, but also the sort of paucity of what's been around him, I guess?
And getting off to a great start as well is so key in this format. So what he and Mitch Marsh have done at the top of the order has obviously been just so consistent. And when you can rely on good openers, that's what it's all about. That you set a platform, you get those 200 scores, and more often than not, you win.
He's charging in now is Peter Siddle, the veteran. It's down the leg side to Finn Allen, who just picks it up and helps it on its way over fine leg. And another six for the big Kiwi.
And the Scorchers, it's a pretty simple formula, really. As I say, they get the runs and often they can... Ashton Turner, of course, can't win a coin toss, which is disappointing for him. But it doesn't seem to affect them too much as far as getting results on the board.
Speaking of making it look easy and simple, their opponents, the Sixers, they are interesting to me from a Steve Smith perspective. I guess he's easy or makes it look easy in a very unusual way. You know, he's ticking off, he's wearing eye blacks, he's doing the V thing with his hand. Mitch Stark, he's back bowling rockets. Even though they finished second, do they kind of feel like the team to beat in many ways?
It's fascinating, isn't it? The complexion of the tournament changes so much with the test players coming back in. It doesn't guarantee you success, but you look at Steve Smith, who now has scored more Big Bash 100s than anybody.
Ranveer Sanger bowls to Smith again, and he'll go to 100. Magnificent innings from Smith.
Unbelievable 100 that.
Averaging in the 80s, striking at 176, and Mitchell Stark, who last night in Brisbane produced his best ever BBL figures.
Mitchell Stark from the Vulture Street end to Jimmy Pearson. Fuller, flayed away, and caught. He's done it again off the full delivery, Buff. Outside off. Pearson tried to play it through the cover, and again, nicely taken.
And how could you not recognise that this is a very different team with arguably our two greatest test cricketers of the past decade and a half? Not to mention, this club itself has a proven finals record too, much like the Scorchers, the Sixers into their seventh straight finals campaign and 12 out of the 15 seasons so far. And those guys were a part of this way back in BBL1 when they won the inaugural title. Smith and Stark were part of that with Moses Enriquez, of course, the current captain. The concern this time, and I think you can't really ignore, they're headed to Perth now straight from Brisbane, which is the full five-hour journey. They'll be playing three games in 5 days. And yeah, I mean, he's only bowling four overs, but you'd have to wonder what sort of a toll that takes on Mitchell Stark's 36-year-old body after a busy summer. That's my main concern for the Sixers. But otherwise, they are the form team in the comp, Stacky. They've won five in a row. Greg Shipard wins Australian titles for fun. And so they have a lot of things going their way, the Sixers. If, again, Steve Smith can produce his magic over in Perth, why would you back against them?
It was funny to see Smith farming the strike with his fellow opener and Pakistan legend, Babar Azam.
They've said no run to that there. I reckon they're taking a power surge. Just notice that. Steve Smith.
That very much Steve Smith instigating that as well. Babar Azam saying why.
Steve Smith has knocked the run back because he wants to be the one on strike to the power surge.
He's not happy. Babar Azam's not happy.
Well, he needs to be happy. That's a smart technical move there from Steve Smith.
Do we know, has that been smoothed over? Is that sweet now or is that sort of still a bit of a thorn?
Yeah, Steve Smith spoke about this pre-game last night and said that they're all good.
No, he's good. We were chatting before, so, I thought he batted really nicely the other night. We put on a few and, we were chatting about our golf earlier. So, he's looking forward to tonight. It looks like a nice wicket, so hopefully we can get off to a good start again.
I think Babar's frustration comes from not only that incident you described back on Friday where he was denied the strike into power surge right before Steve Smith helped himself to 32 runs off one Ryan Hadley over.
Here's Hadley into Smith. Hit away into the offside through covers. They'll surely get at least one. Is it going to be only one or they're coming back for a second? They're coming back for a second. The most expensive over in BBL history.
And then Babar whacked the boundary rope on his way off when he was bowled the very next ball. What you have to understand is that Pakistan has still not picked their World Cup squad. They're the last nation not to have done so. There's little guarantee he'll be in there. In fact, probably less likely that he does earn selection in the T20 World Cup squad for Pakistan. He's been okay as far as like scoring runs. His average is sort of in the 25-30 range, which is below par, but it can happen in this format. But the true mark of a good T20 cricketer is the strike rate. And he's going at about 104, just better than a run a ball. That's too low. And for all the fanfare that he's brought the Sixers with the Pakistani community, and he's no doubt a big name, maybe he's just not that proficient in this format. He's not a natural power hitter. Mind you, neither is Steve Smith. He's also not been selected for his country in that format for quite a while. I read somewhere, I think Steve Smith averages 140 in the BBL since he was omitted from the Australian T20 side. So it's sort of curious that those guys are opening partners. Both have captained their country and very much world-class contemporaries. I saw that Babar actually was asked to rank those contemporaries across the formats, and he had picked Steve Smith as a superior test player over the likes of Joe Root, Virat Kohli, Kane Williamson. So maybe he would change his vote now if he was asked a few days on. But no, I reckon they have made up over it. I think a lot of Babar's frustration is internal because he knows his spot in the Pakistan World Cup squad is on the line and he hasn't put his best foot forward.
Circles within circles. Hey, the Canes are seeking to go back-to-back. I feel as though many are sleeping on Hobart because of the injury wobbles and the form wobbles. I mean, who looms as the talisman for this purple outfit with Tim David on the sideline with that hamstring injury?
I guess Mitch Owen was the hero last year, but they have, again, a proven nucleus of guys that got the job done last year. It's so tough to try and understand just how different things could be for the Hurricanes. They were cruising in that game against the Brisbane Heat last week, needing 30-odd to win, 8 wickets in hand, even a run a ball in the last over is usually pretty safe. And they couldn't get it done.
An insane finish about to unfold here at Bellerive. The Hobart Hurricanes need 5 runs off the final ball after looking almost assured of victory here at Bellerive. 8 for 156.
Okay, what's
wrong? Shah Hussain, the new batter at the crease. This has to go. He carves it away.
Oh, they've got up.
And Heat are going to win. Out to cover point. They get through for a single only. It won't be enough.
Can you believe that?
All quarters of Bellerive. The Brisbane Heat have pulled off A remarkable comeback at Bel Reeve.
The difference that makes is incredible because, as you say, could have locked up top spot right there and then. Now they go sudden death on Wednesday. Yes, they're at home. And I wonder if there'll be scarring from the match a week prior or if they can overcome that. I think the promising thing for the Canes, Stacky, and I know from having spoken to a few of their players, is they don't feel as though they've really had a complete game yet. Certain guys were well out of form through the entire first half of the tournament, and yet they were still winning for the most part. They are the defending champs for a reason. And unlike some sports where we talk about the difficulty in winning back-to-back, in the BBL it's happened a few times now. Mm. So now you could say it's certainly very possible, but they haven't been consistent enough. Perhaps they have relied on too few, and maybe it's just the nature of this format, the seemingly endless pursuit of the perfect game across the 40 overs.
Hey, finally, the Stars. If a perennial storyline is the Scorchers and their excellence, from a Melbourne perspective, it's their inability to win a title, still chasing that first one. Glenn Maxwell has 67 runs for the tournament. If they're to come from fourth to win this title, you'd have to think it's someone like him who's going to need to catch fire for this team full of talent, but just the trophy's not there yet.
I'm not sure if the crossover is there, Stacky, across the listenership of this podcast and, you know, Simpsons references, but I mean, maybe it is. It's sort of like when there's that mafia fight at the front of the Simpsons house and the little Japanese guy is sitting there and they're saying, he's going to do something soon, isn't he? It's going to be good. Glenn Maxwell just sort of biding his time, maybe waiting for that moment in the BBL playoffs. He is yet to get a score of 40 or more in this tournament, as you say, a guy who has defined what this very competition means.
Facing up to Richardson, and Glenn Maxwell hits this ball straight up in the air. That's gone right up the mine shaft. It's going to take some catching out of fine leg, and it's taken. So that is the end of Glenn Maxwell, and his torrid tournament continues.
And indeed, he is in Australia's World Cup squad. And the contrast with Steve Smith's form is, well, you know, should maybe one of those guys be and the other one not, but maybe he's due. That's what I'm saying. It's that Glenn Maxwell could be that guy. He knows as well as anyone what the Stars are and what they have been at this end of the season. But again, you talk about balance. They're bowlers. They've got the job done across the campaign. So it's all Peter Siddle, Harris Ralph, of course, Tom Curran as well. They've got a good first season out of Mitch Swepson, who came across from the Brisbane Heat. And they've got a well-rounded bowling performance. Of course, Marcus Stoinis is the captain as well. But yeah, is there a psychology around getting the job done, especially now having won the first four games and cruising, being on top, to now slumping to fourth? Are those wheels wobbling? I mean, Sam Harper has been an unlikely hero for them across this campaign. I doubt they would have thought he would be the guy who would lead their run scoring.
Sandhu, last ball of the 13th. First over of the surge. Harper got the length that he wanted. He sweated on the short ball and clubs it away for six.
Maxi, it's time to fire. They'll go to Bel Reeve on Wednesday. They'll be surrounded by raucous Hurricanes fans, of course, keen to atone for their slip-up last week and go back-to-back in BBL 15. And the Stars are up against it.
Brett Sprigg and the team at ABC Sport will be calling the action across this final series. You can catch it all, every single ball, commercial-free on the ABC Listen app. Spriggy, thanks for your time.
Anytime, Stacky.
Headlines. Tennis. Alex de Minaur has dispatched round one opponent American Mackenzie McDonald in straight sets for victory at Melbourne Park. We haven't had to wait long for our It's Hot at the Australian Open stories either, with temperatures in the low 30s. Local hope Priscilla Hahn claimed her tournament opener after opponent Marina Stukušić could not handle the heat, succumbing to cramps and having to be taken from the court in a wheelchair for full coverage of the AO. Tune in to the ABC Listen app or head to the ABC Sport website. An enormous round of action in the Premier League this weekend just gone. Second place Manchester City rolled by crosstown rivals United under interim manager Darren Fletcher. Third place Aston Villa lost to lowly Everton. Top placed Arsenal could have put a 9-point gap on their rivals but stumbled to a nil-all draw with Nottingham Forest. In the NFL, we have our NFC and AFC conference finals decided. Australian punter Michael Dixon and the Seattle Seahawks thumped San Fran. They will face the LA Rams for a place in the Super Bowl. Waiting for the winner of that will either be the New England Patriots or the clinical Denver Broncos, who edge past Josh Allen's Buffalo. Have a listen to the vanquished QB Allen after his defeat, followed by his teammate Deion Dawkins' reaction.
It's extremely difficult. I feel like I let my teammates down tonight.
We're thankful for him.
We
said he feels like he let you guys down. How do you react when your quarterback who's done so much for you says that to you guys?
He let us down.
The Cure sang Boys Don't Cry, but Gridiron Stars do, and we like it. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Fox Sports for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.